Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, right on the southwest side of Columbus. I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, how was church yesterday? And we had a wonderful Lord's Day here at Bible Baptist Church. Just thank God for the faithful folks that He's put together here and assembles with us each week at Bible Baptist Church. God met with us and decisions were made for the Lord. And we just had a great, great spirit, both morning and evening, and a great time with the people of God. I hope your Sunday was that way and that you were in your place. You were a blessing to your church and to your pastor. And most of all, that God met with you and spoke to your heart and drew you closer to Him because you gathered together with the people of God. It was a great Lord's Day. And we're ready to march right into this first full week of August. And it's exciting times for us. This week, Mrs. Slaybaugh and I will celebrate our 44th wedding anniversary. And we're excited about that and going to get together with our children and grandchildren and have a great time of celebration. And so we're looking forward to that later this week. Well, listen, if your Bible's nearby, why don't you go to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. We started this on Friday. If you missed Friday's broadcast, I'd urge you to go back and pick it up. You can usually get that from iTunes or iHeartRadio where the podcasts are. Type in Words to Encourage, Bible Baptist Church. It'll come up. Hope you subscribe to that so you can easily get to it. You can also go to our website and go under the media, I think, or Words to Encourage, and you should be able to listen to it there. But I would encourage you to pick up that broadcast. It kind of lays the foundation for what we're going to talk about today. But just to briefly recap, Psalm 57, verse 7, the psalmist writes here that, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." He had a fixed heart. It means that it's settled. I mean, it's convinced. He says, I've settled on some things. I've taken a position on some things. And it's not negotiable. It's not debatable. It's fixed. It's settled. And we said Friday that convictions come from the Word of God. And we said those convictions are established in principles from the Scripture. And that we set standards to guard the convictions. And then we gave four purposes for convictions and standards. And then we said they establish your life. They'll provide a guideline for your conduct. They'll bring glory to God. They'll prove your love for Christ. And they'll help you touch the lives of others. You can influence that. That's what we're here for, is we're ambassadors for Christ. Now, I said today I want to talk to you about how do you develop convictions and standards. Well, number one, you must believe the Bible as your source of truth. You say, well, I don't see what's so wrong. No, that's the wrong standard. It's not what you see is right or wrong or I see is right or wrong. What does the Bible say? The Bible is our source of truth. If I'm going to be convinced, I must be convinced by the Word of God. It has authority. And it's going to be my final authority in all matters of faith and practice. So if I'm going to develop some standards and convictions, I have to believe the Bible is my source of truth, my final authority. Number two, I have to allow the Bible to close my mind on the subject. In other words, it's going to be fixed. That's what God says. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says or what this person says or that person says or how many aren't doing it. Doesn't matter. My mind is closed to the subject. My heart will be fixed. Number three, we establish some standards that will be consistent with your convictions. Young man, your conviction is to go to the marriage altar pure. A virgin and pure, untouched, then you have established some standards that I'm not going to be alone with someone of the opposite gender, and I'm not going to put temptation and opportunity in the same room. I won't do that. If I want a pure mind and pure thoughts, then I must set some standards about what I'll listen to, what I'll watch, what I will not watch. Why? Because I want to guard my convictions. So establish standards that will be consistent with my convictions. And then, number four, we need to speak and practice those same convictions and standards. Once we establish them, what good do they do if you don't keep them? You have to speak them and practice them and maintain them. All right? Doesn't do any good to have any standards if you're not going to abide by them. That's how you develop convictions and standards. Now, I also said this, and this is where we'll go today. When establishing those standards and convictions, there's five questions you should ask. All right? Here we go. Number one, is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong? Now, I didn't say, do you think it's right or wrong? Does the pastor say it's right or wrong? What does God's word say? Does the word of God give clear instruction about it? Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Later on in Proverbs 20, it says, don't look at the wine when it moves itself aright in the cup, when it shows its color. That's fermented beverage. And God says, don't even look at it. I don't think he meant drink with your eyes closed. I think he meant stay away from it. Have nothing to do with it. If God says it's right, it's right. And if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. See, back in the garden, that was the Satan's first ploy. Why? What did he tell Adam and Eve? No, you can decide what's good and evil. Why are you leaving that to God? See? And man's been doing that ever since. No, I don't decide what's good and what's evil. God has already decided that in his word. So I have to decide, is it right or wrong? Number two, I have to ask, does it lead to wrongdoing? Will this standard or this that I'm going to establish, will it lead to wrongdoing? So I'm trying to think. But the Bible says in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Yeah, something may not be wrong in itself, but it's making provision for the flesh. You know, it may not be wrong for you to be alone. I know a preacher who travels and preaches, and you know what he does? He brings a little tablecloth with him. What for? When he gets to the motel room, he puts the tablecloth over the television. And on top of that television, he sets up pictures of his wife and children. He will not watch television in the motel room. Why? He doesn't want to make any provision for his flesh. Well, I understand that. See, we make standards to protect us, not just from the act of sin, but from the temptation of sin. Okay? Not just from the act of sin, but from the temptation of sin. Will it lead me to do wrong? So we have to be careful. Is it right or wrong? Does it lead me to be wrong? The third question we ask is this. Will this associate me with wrong? The Bible says, don't be a partaker of other men's sins. Will what I'm about to do associate me with wicked people or wicked actions? I want to burn the bridges that link me to worldliness and sin. We ought to want to burn those bridges. Years ago, I had a young man in our church, and he was so on fire for the Lord, so eager to serve God. He came out and go soul winning with me on Saturday, and I mean, had on a shirt and a tie and a suit, looked great, and I mean, fired up for the Lord, giving tracts to everybody, talking to everybody. We got back to church, and he said, man, I'm so glad you're thrilled for the Lord and you're excited about serving God. And I said, and everything about you says you belong to Jesus Christ except one thing. He goes, what's that? And I pointed to the earring in his ear. I said, that still reminds me and reminds others of your old life. It doesn't remind you of your new life with Christ. Man, he reached up and ripped that thing out of his ear. It hurt to me just to watch it. But he said, you'll never see that again. And I don't believe I ever have. You understand? Why? That's just wrong association. Identifies me with the wrong team. Played sports all my life. I never thought about putting on the jersey of the opposing team. Why do I want to do that? Well, why do Christians want to put on the things that would associate it with those who oppose God? Number four, here's the next question to ask. Will this lead anyone else to do wrong? In other words, can someone else use what I'm about to do as an excuse to do wrong? You see, abstain from all appearance of evil. I don't want it to appear that I'm condoning something that's wrong. The Bible says, it makes it clear in Romans 14, I'm not to provide a stumbling block or be a stumbling block to somebody else.
that they might fall. I do have to be aware of what others will think about what I'm doing, because someone is watching you. Someone is following your steps. You're the best Christian somebody knows. So we're asking ourselves some questions as we establish our convictions and standards. We're asking ourselves, is it right or wrong? Does it lead to wrong? Will it associate me with wrong? Does it lead anyone else to do wrong? And then number five, is it questionable? Is it questionable? The Bible has an interesting verse in Romans 14, verse 23. It says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When in doubt, don't. Years ago, a preacher was saying he wore white shirts, and he was got a white shirt out and started looking at it, and he's looking at the collar and the sleeves, and I don't know, is this dirty? And he called out to his wife. He said, honey, come take a look at this collar. Do you think it's dirty? And his wife just yelled from the other room and said, honey, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. Boy, that's a good motto to live by, isn't it? If it's doubtful, it's dirty. So listen, I don't know. Listen, a lot of times we don't set up any standards. We don't have any convictions because we're ignorant of the Bible. Set out to study God's word. Set out to love God's word. Set out to examine it. Set out to understand the principles that are in it. And develop some convictions. And from those convictions, set your standards that'll help you to be true to your convictions. It'll protect you from sin. And that will bring glory to God. That's standards and convictions. Let's review, can we? How do I develop conviction standards? Well, first of all, I've got to take the Bible as my source of truth. Then I have to allow the Bible to close my mind on the subject. Then I'll establish some standards that will help me to keep those convictions. They're consistent with my convictions. And then number four, I need to speak and practice those same convictions and standards. Don't say one thing and live another. That doesn't work. Make sure that you're being consistent. And then the five questions we ask, is it right or wrong? God's already settled that. We don't have to decide. What does God say, right or wrong? Does it lead to wrong? It may not be wrong in itself, but it could lead to something wrong. Does it associate me with wrong? Does it clearly identify me as a follower of Christ, or would it cast doubt whether I'm a follower of Christ? Does it lead anyone else to do wrong? Will it be a stumbling block? Would someone else think it's okay to go in the liquor store, or someone else think it's okay to go in and watch a bad movie? I don't want to be a stumbling block. That it would lead anyone else to do wrong, and then is it questionable? Is it questionable? Is it doubtful? Then don't do it. What serves not of faith is sin. Know that God wants you to do what's right. Why? Learn what the Bible says. Oh, establish some convictions in your life. It'll help you. It'll stabilize you. It'll move you forward in your Christian life. Well, I hope those have been a help to you. I hope you'll meditate a little bit on that and that it'll be a blessing to you. Have a great Monday, everybody, all right? And I look forward to being with you, Lord willing, on our broadcast again tomorrow. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.